Welcome to Know Your Rights,
a music podcast. What, Rob, what are you doing?
A vampiric thing. Halloween is amongst us.
Follow Colton.
And Rob, as this week we sink our teeth.
Because we're vampires.
We sink our teeth into My Chemical Romance.
Music is death.
And we know our last rights. I sound like a pirate. Happy Halloween, Colton.
Welcome
again to the Black Parade.
I have to go back to last episode quickly because
go ahead.
When I said I wanted to do a Halloween themed podcast, and then you went and riffed on like four or five different bands we could have done that would have worked perfectly. I was almost gonna call you after and go, let's just do like the Misfits. But then I listened to MCR again and I was like, There's vampires all through those records.
Constantly.
One could say too much.
Very, very much so the inspiration. I hope everybody enjoyed that little intro we had there. I thought it was kind of fun.
I was expecting you to use some kind of Halloween pun. I was going to do a Halloween pun now. Welcome, boils and ghouls.
Great.
That's good.
Screw it. We're winging it. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween, everybody. It's going great so far.
That's right. For anybody who's new to the podcast or maybe just checking us out because we're talking about My Chemical Romance, we don't usually do that for the intro.
The vampire intro is not our typical intro.
No. And we will eventually get to My Chemical Romance, but we have some little stops on the way.
I think we've received feedback from longtime listeners that our opening combos are not always the parts that people come to see to listen to.
Yeah, we may have timestamps. I don't fucking know. Just know that we will talk about My Chemical Romance.
It's difficult to do when we can't keep our focus on whatever we're talking about. But also, I think people need to know how to best foam their milk if they're using alternative milks. I think almond milk is an important one.
That's right.
Good PA. But here we are.
For the My Chemical Romance listener who came here going like, I want to hear them talk about My Chemical Romance, I suggest you listen to Erykah Badu as well. I think you're going to have a good time.
Yeah. That's right. I haven't checked our geography recently, but I don't think we have any Irish listeners as of now.
Oh, we do have one. We have our new producer.
We have our new... How is he doing today?
I'm doing great, Colton.
I'm
looking
say,
forward to you guys talking about Me Chemical Romance.
I misspoke because I said your name was Lucky. I know that's not really your name. That would be an awful stereotype if that was really your name.
It's a nickname that came along when I came to the States.
What is your actual name?
Kobe O'Brien.
Okay. Mr. O'Brien, it's really nice to see you. And thank you again for taking this job.
I appreciate the opportunity.
You're officially Armenian.
He's a globetrotter. He has seen a lot of different places, so he's picked up a lot of different dialects. He gets a little confused.
It's like Madonna, right? Exactly. Give her a break. She lived in the UK for half of her life now.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's
guys. Take it forward.
All right. Now he's not going to talk anymore. He's a producer. Do your job.
Well, producers talk.
That's good. No one ever wants them to talk. That's true. Carte blanche. That's
I've had
carte blanche was not the right term there. Oh, Lord. But I want to ask you this because we got songs coming up. We got a lot of stuff coming up. But we also, because this is October, it's not. It's September.
It's totally
24th.
October.
It's totally October.
Yeah.
What
I
is
got pumpkins what is, and shit in the background? It is just
you do.
I decorate my room every October.
What is your mileage for Halloween, Rob? I think we mentioned this briefly last week.
About 36 of them. I've had about 36 Halloweens,
and they've all gone great. I mean, every single one.
Yeah. Yes. I haven't seen anything horrific, like a cat being burned or some weird sacrificial scenario. This is what I associate Halloween with. It's just
with burning cats.
Isn't that a thing?
Listeners, if you've ever burned a cat on Halloween for some kind of ritual, please let us know.
I thought that was a real thing. I thought black cats run into issues during Halloween.
I have never heard this before. If that is actually a thing, that's sad. But also, That kind of feels like razor blades and candy, where it's happened maybe once and it was someone's
That's
relative.
Probably true. Yeah, I think I probably just fell into the urban legend.
I think every year I miss being able to just go door to door and get candy from people, that experience. Mm-hmm. Although every year now at this point, I just get myself a big bag of Reese's and sit
that's
and watch
your,
horror
That's
films.
Your tradition?
That and pumpkin, like I'm the most basic of all people. I love pumpkin lattes and pumpkin beer. And like this ongoing thing that pumpkin beer is like not cool. I don't care. It's great.
You feel festive. I get you.
I love the festivities.
I think the last time I actually partook in any type of Halloween thing, it was November 1st. And me and a buddy, we were trying to pull off like one of those stupid Jackass scenes. Like where we went around on November 1st and said we just flew back in from Europe or whatever. And we went door to door just asking people for candy and then go like, it's not Halloween. And we tried to film it. But somebody did give us like eggs. They gave us eggs, like came to the door and went like, we're out of candy. And I'm like, I can give you, let me check the refrigerator.
It's probably the last eggs that guy had. He was like, yeah. Well, it's either this or help these poor kids out. That's what I've always never understood until I've like got like to today's years old. Where mm-hmm. someone's like, trick or treats, like if they don't give you a trick or a treat, the idea is you're supposed to trick them somehow, like you're supposed to throw eggs or something. Razor blades and candy.
Yeah.
I've never done any of that. I think I'm too goody-goody of a kid. I was like, why would you throw eggs at anyone's house? This is awful.
Yeah, I may have participated in some.
You're the other side of the law, man. I don't know. Well,
I'm a
I
rebel,
think it's...
dude. Rock and roll is dangerous.
It is. I think it's a good time to ask for our spooktacular song of the week special.
Spooktacular.
That's
what
right.
What a pun.
I'm gonna pepper them in. I have a list over here on the left. Can you just have scary music running throughout the whole episode?
I think at the intro of this, there was a little bit of the spooky forest in the background.
We're recording this in a spooky forest. That makes sense. That's not
exactly.
That's I'm actually
there's a big
a little
pentagram
nervous.
In between us. We're holding hands.
Is that Kobe O'Brien? Is it him doing some kind of chant in the background with some kind of huge spell book?
I wasn't, but if you want to bring me into this.
I just love.
Halloween is not that big a holiday for me. I'm looking forward to March and not March Madness.
I can't. Every time I'm like, where's you from now? This is great. I love our producers doing a good job. I want to ask you first. You first tell me this. What is your spectacular?
You're talking
song
to me or
week?
Are you talking to Kobe?
I'm talking to Robert McGregor.
Okay.
Kobe and I are on good terms right now.
McGregor, by the way, I think lucky you can appreciate that. Greatest fighter I've ever seen. He's talking about Conor, everybody.
Conor McGregor. Who might be stopping by later. We don't know. Now that this podcast has an open door policy, who knows? That's what the listeners want. So what
Bill
is your
free
song
Colton,
of the week?
By the way, to maybe talk with Lucky as well.
No, I don't want to do that. No, I feel like Lucky and I are good. We're good right now.
Okay.
God damn it. Tell me your song of the week.
my spooktacular ooh song.
Yeah.
Is Spellbound by Susie and the Banshees. Sorry, it took me a moment.
I like that dramatic pause.
Yes,
where did you, because I know we talked before this, you said you weren't like hugely familiar with them, but where did this come from? Like, where did you even get the idea of this song?
Most of the artists that we have talked about have referenced Susie and the Banshees.
Mm.
And I just, honestly, you told me like, hey, we're going to do the spooky songs.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the twist for a Halloween episode. So I'm like, all right. Let me go online and cheat and just looked up, what was it, 66 songs that will be killer for your Halloween playlist. Who would have got 66? I just scrolled through it and I found Susie and the Banshees. Went, you know what? I've never really listened to them.
That's one of those bands that I've definitely heard of. And I think I was just telling you this, after Wednesday, the series on Netflix came out and there's a lot of discussion about like the influences for even that like famous dancing scene and Wednesday Yourself. And I know that Susie and the Banshees got trumped around a lot. I am not a huge kind of goth new wave.
Yeah. Person. The new wave goth movement. I get you. I can dig it, but yeah, it's not necessarily my thing.
I'm not like a ugh. I just never. It's like a whole thing. I've never even like The Cure, right? Which is like maybe the biggest band that I associate with that. I've never been a big Cure fan, and never because I hate The Cure. Just not.
To be fair, I think 311 ruined The Cure for me. I heard their cover of what is it? I Will Always Love You.
Oh, that was huge.
Yeah, and I did like The Cure's version more. I don't want to throw shade at 311. I will.
Can I say real quick? Who is a 311 fan? Like, who is like, ooh, ride or die 311?
I mean, they're out there. I don't have any friend that I can reference personally.
Okay, I was worried you're going to be like, oh, someone we're very close to, and I just made them feel
your
bad,
mom, but... dude. Your mother has been talking about 311 for the longest time.
My mom has never liked 311. How dare you even suggest it?
But Spellbound. Everybody check it out. I don't know how you're going to feel about it. Honestly, I can hardly remember how the song went.
This is thank you for your contribution to this podcast, Rob.
No
this
problem,
is
dude.
Great.
That's no problem.
I do in listening to it. I get it for sure, right? Mm-hmm. It is something about it that's very contemporary when I listen to bands that I know are influenced by them. It's mm-hmm. funny, the band I mentioned to you was Florence and the Machine, mm-hmm. which if you're anyone who's not familiar, the big single is Dog Days. The dog days are over.
Okay.
But that, okay. The vocal...
I'm one of those people, by the way, who is not familiar with Florence and the Machine.
Well, I liked it, though. It was very good. I'm now a Susie and the Banshees fan. I'm going to just dive into their discography next week.
Get ready for next episode.
That's what it was. Can I want to say for my choice, and I didn't even have this choice in mind when I mentioned it, but I want to preface this very quickly. Like, this is very much connected to My Chemical Romance because during this 2-year period, I was like, man, My Chemical Romance, at a certain period in their career, I was mm-hmm. really big fan. And just thought, man, they do so many things so well. And then the band that I chose for my song of the week, which is for everybody, Vendetta Red, The Great Castration.
Which, like, by the way, that is a great song title because that shit's not spooky. That terrifies the hell out of me.
That is, well, Freud would.
That's not.
Would,
that's
Freud
not
would say, well, duh.
Yeah, there you go.
But I.
Well,
I do
sorry.
Want to say,
all right, Sigmund, you're right.
This is my big thing. Is I think they were in those two album period, which is between the Never and the Now, and then Sisters of the Red Death. Mm-hmm. I think they were one of the greatest, if not the greatest, rock and roll band of their generation, putting out records at that point.
I remember when you and I met, that was, I was surprised because I had heard a little Vendetta Red, but I remember you telling me before Coheed, you were like, that was my band.
I would put Between the Never and the Now next to any other record ever. And especially within that 2000s
outside of the Beatles,
era.
Everybody outside of the Beatles.
I mean, whatever. It's great.
I'm bringing it in. I told you the next 20 episodes.
I'm going to take constant. Like everything about that band and the way they work together. It's mm-hmm. just kick ass. And they're weirdly kind of like a throwback while also being super at the time, very now and contemporary. They weren't like, you know, it wasn't like Jet, right? And a lot of those kind of throwback bands that were getting popular in the 2000s, the garage bands, they were loud.
Oddly enough, I think I'm going to bring up Jet at some point in this episode.
I'm depressed, but they were loud. They were aggressive. They were kick ass live. The lyrics were amazing. Great Castration is from, I think, one of the only good concept records of the 2000s, which is Sisters of the Red Death, because it's really basic. Woman is sexually assaulted. Woman turns into a flying Medusa monster. Woman eradicates and castrates all men on Earth. That's it. And every song kicks. And The Great Castration is all about going around and castrating men.
So turning them into stone, you said a Medusa monster, right? Turning them into stone and then what, just like taking a hammer to the junk?
Oh, no, they're not turning the stone. They're very much alive. There's not a Medusa-esque monster. Gorgon.
Again, not spooky, terrifying.
I love it. And they found her swinging from a pipe in the basement of the Church of Jesus Christ, the same rape. That is, mm-hmm. I mean, he is such a great lyricist anyway, and he's so great at these like razor blade kind of lines. My friend Justin Ware, who I don't even think he listens to this.
I would highly doubt it. Hello, Justin. I hope you're doing well, man.
That is one that we would just kind of scream to each other over. We saw each other at parties or things. It's a very this
confusing
is
the
it's
hell
weirdly,
out of everybody else at the party.
It's a weirdly nostalgic song for me, and when I listened to it, I went into a Vendetta Red Hole again. And I was like, there.
It was a very good song. Talking specifically about the great castation.
Castration. I've said it wrong 3 different times.
Hey, what the hell? But it was really cool. But I think I told you in a text, the way he goes to those falsettos and then comes back, it reminds me a lot of a future guest Joe Ziegler and
from Lesmore.
That's all I have to say. It reminded me a lot of that.
I have to go back to it again. I didn't hear it, but I am, and it made me.
And you didn't read the text, I'm sure.
I did read it. I just didn't understand.
Agree.
It.
Yeah.
I thought this is. This
I
is not
hear
worth
it.
My
I
reply.
Hear it. And maybe it is just the falsetto part.
It was one of those things where I listened to that record again, and I was like, oh, it makes me like My Chemical Romance less because I remembered. I was like, you can't grade bands on a curve. Sometimes I don't know, it's hard, but
that's actually exactly what we do, Colton.
That's good. Well, shit. Well,
I have an idea, Colton.
What is
was
it?
That you, Lucky? Was that
his
you?
His name's not Lucky, right?
It's just a nickname. He picked it up in the States.
Okay, Lucky.
He what, told us.
What is it you had an idea about, Lucky?
No, he was just.
Oh.
Move along.
Let's cut that.
All right. Lucky, you're so, a character.
What a character. Right. Now, we have our MCR categories. It feels weird to dive back into categories again. We skipped them last week, but it was actually very comforting.
Yes.
Gave me a thing to do. How was this journey for you, Rob? This 2-week journey back into My Chemical Romance?
At least on one album, I had the time of my life.
What were the other three like?
One of them, not bad. Two of them, okay. Out of the remaining two, I would say one's, you know, they're getting their legs, and then the other one, I'm just,
yeah. I think the best way to think, they were very like for us at least, like a kind of classic Know Your Rights episode where you have the opening, and funny enough, very much like Thursday. A band that's also, I mean, Jeff Rickley is tied in with My Chemical Romance
on their
right?
very first album, yes.
Yeah, but I feel like it's where the opening album is like really rough. Like rough at points where I'm like, how is it they actually got discovered with a record like this?
Well,
there's things there, I guess.
It's a little upsetting with them because it just seemed like they had the connections to just right away dive into being popular.
Hmm.
You know, I guess through Gerard Way and living in New York as like a comic book artist, I think he worked for Cartoon Network at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just seems like he made the proper connections. And there's really something about, I don't know for sure that they're from Long Island, but it seems like they're from Long Island because they're just,
no, they're from Jersey. Is that it? I don't think that's from Jersey.
That's not that far away.
Okay.
You know, and
I
so
don't know anything about that.
They were just part of this scene in which so many bands sprung from. Mm-hmm. You know, and they just happen to come in, and they have Jeff Rickley at the time, who Thursday was moving. They were
at that point. He was, yeah. I mean, Thursday's never been famous, but that was probably the most cachet, right? That he had at that point.
Well, they still had their cult following, all that good shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's just they kind of came in and just it's what we would have loved to have had, and every other person I know who's in a band, or it's like you're immediately trying to start a band and getting attention right away.
I think,
and I hold that a little bit against My Chemical Romance. No offense, you guys.
Here's the thing, in that first record, and I don't know, I have at least one song from there on my category, so we don't have to talk about it too much right now, but I said all those things about it being very, very rough, and I think that's true. And when I said that they're a classic Know Your Rights band, it's because in the second record, like those middle records they have, like when it clicks for me, it like really clicks.
It absolutely hits.
You can find the DNA in that first record of not necessarily in the songwriting, but in the atmosphere and the personality that the band is trying to develop. And that I actually think is the most successful thing that MCR does. And that's like a good lesson in and of itself, right? When you're trying to put together any kind of a project, sometimes it really is about the posturing. Right. And that's, I don't see that as a bad thing. That feels very against like punk idealism, right? And we used to make fun of, like, not in a mean way necessarily, but But you'd have people at shows where we would play where they'd be very like theatrical. I don't think we were always a little bit.
Yeah. And I kind of lump in My Chemical Romance, honestly, with My Friend Sam, to where it's like there's just certain shows where you guys are a disaster on stage. The best thing you can hope for is that the audience loves the energy.
Well, and I've seen them. I've seen My Chemical Romance actually several times. I was trying to piece together with my sister, Nicole. And that's what this band reminds me of the most, because this was a band we both had in common, amongst others, but we would go to shows all the time. Mm-hmm. They weren't the most amazing. I mean, Gerard Way is not a great singer live and not always really on record either. But they definitely have, what is the term? Presence. They have presence. And it's real.
They dive into, I don't know if it's real. I do still think that they're a little bit of a phone-in. Maybe not phone in. That's a little pejorative. They're not as original, I think, as they get credit for. They're such a performance and such a, like, they derive from every artist they possibly can. Mm-hmm. And I saw them at Warped Tour, and they were the last act, and I got stuck to where everybody who was at Warped Tour, you know, it's like My Chemical Romance is going on stage. Here we go. And I was stuck in this humongous audience listening to one of the worst live performances I've ever seen. And I couldn't get out. There were that many bodies next to me where I'm like, this is its own little Halloween episode. Yes, that was a horror moment for me, because I'm like, I got a little bit of claustrophobia and I'm listening to a terrible live performance.
Let me check. What album was this after? Was this Black Parade?
This was pre-Black Parade. This was right after Three Cheers.
Because I saw them right before Three Cheers at Warped Tour. And that's actually, I saw them, funny enough, open for Face to Face. And do you know the band that opened for them, the first band on that ticket? Say Anything. Before Is a Real Boy came out. I actually walked up to Max Bemis while he was sitting at the merch table. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was at that time. I'd never heard or even that band at all. And he looked like excited and surprised that I was approaching him. And I said, "Excuse me, do you know when My Chemical Romance is going on?" And
I saw
Max Bemis's face just like disintegrate. And he went, "After us." And I went, "Oh, thank you." And then
that's what put him down the rabbit hole. Way to go, Colton.
That was great. They did an amazing job, Say Anything. And that's back when they still had Casper, right? All their old guys. And it was so cool. But My Chemical Romance then, I really enjoyed. And when we saw
them, they were a good live performance when you saw them?
For sure they were. And it was a small club. It was at, House of Blues in Hollywood. And then we saw them at Warped Tour when they were on the side stage, not the main one. And so this was probably before you saw them. And there again, they had like Burt McCracken from The Used come up.
Yeah.
Him and Gerard Way always like made out on the stage when they did, you know what they do to guys like us in prison. There's something about that period, I think, in my life, and bands like Chemical Romance and The Used, where it's like this anarchic and also very queer energy. That's like a lot of what their performances were.
Yeah, definitely going against the social norms.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like all this, like, you know, anti-heteronormativity shit that it was. It was a very cool punk energy. And it, like,
I agree with that. But, and it's fine, because definitely when I saw them, they had the energy up there. Mm-hmm. It was just the music sounded awful. I have a predisposition with them, and it is purely conjecture. Everybody look at us with our big words, but I don't believe that those two guitarists play on any of their records based off of that live show.
You're a guitarist conspiracy theorist, because you had the same theory with Travis from Coheed.
Yeah, I know. And I'm probably wrong. You guys probably worked your asses off in the studio. I just don't buy it. I literally did buy it.
Look at that. There we go.
But I just don't believe you guys. I don't believe you. I think somebody came in and went like, "Dude, we are on a time restraint. We need to get these tracks laid down. I can play what you're playing."
I think
this is so mean. I've said mean things on this podcast. That's the meanest in my heart. That feels
worst. This is Colton, the consummate critic of this show, saying, "Whoa, Rob, calm down."
Yeah, I know. Yikes. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, guys.
It's only with guitarists that you get this way, and it's because you're a very good guitarist. I love all guitarists. I think they're all great. I have no room to talk.
Please don't listen to Colton's records, because that's not good guitar playing on there.
That's that's how I think. Full stop. Like all guitar, any guitar you hear.
The
on
two
those
guitar
records.
Players, really bad, really bad.
I do really quick, because we're talking about like what makes them so big and what kind of draws people in, and part of that is the way that they present themselves. I do think when we get to those two records, because this isn't Know Your Stage Performance, it's Know Your Rights, Everybody.
Right.
There's something.
How do you spell the podcast?
WRITES or RITES.
Where's the Know Your?
S as in last rights, if that's what you want to do. At this point, they know the Know Your. Unless
no, we may have new listeners. I'm just saying.
No. Dot your. Dot.
There you go. There you go. Keep it going. Keep it going.
No,
keep it going.
Don't you dare keep this in. I can't even trust you anymore with what you cut. I think you just go, how could I upset Colton the most? KNOW.YOUR.WRITES.podcast@gmail.com. I realize we don't really usually spell Know Your.
You look like you were reading off of a script.
Yeah, I have it here. I'm looking at it.
Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, Colton, I reverted to my old ways. Zero notes.
I know that because I don't see anything on that bed with you. There's a phone sitting useless.
There you go.
Your
there's
side,
my notes.
And I know there's nothing on there. Chemical, this is taking a very long time. Chemical Romance starts really rough. They find their place. And then what I appreciate about them more so than other bands we've covered is that next record, I think it's the one we both agree is so rough. That's their last one. And I know people are hoping they're going to put something else out. I actually really appreciate that they were like, no.
Same here.
That's it.
I love the fact that they got together and started touring, what was it, in 2019. They had to delay because of COVID and then came back in 2023. And I'm so happy that they're like, oh, there's murmurings of, you know, a new album on the horizon. Yeah. Thank you for not doing that.
Because this is now my turn to be mean. And this is really for any band that anyone likes that wants to put out new records after being broken up for a long time. There's a 0% chance that record's going to be good. I just put up a big zero with the hand. I can't think of.
Yeah, I was going to say some mean thing.
Yeah, I know you would. But yeah. I can't imagine that goes well. And so I appreciate, you know, do other things. Write comics.
I'll give them a 2% chance, maybe 5% chance. But that's really low odds. That's really low odds anyway. You know, I'm just giving them a chance.
And I feel like we've started off kind of negative. I have a lot of nice things to say. I don't know if you do. Okay.
I have a lot of both.
Okay. Well, let's go. Let's dive in. Let's go to best song first. I'll give us a start because I feel like I want to. Helena is my best song. Very close to, I think, the one that you might have chosen. I'm not actually sure, but I love Helen. Okay. And it's,
Helen's a really good song, a beautiful song about his grandmother who passed away.
Mm-hmm. And it goes along with their story they're developing right on that record, the woman who dies. It's none of, I mean, to be honest, I don't care about any of that.
I'm right? The same. When I read that those three albums, starting from Three Cheers to their last one, which I always forget the name of, someone with Killjoy in it. When I read that those were actually rock operas, Black Parade was the only one that I thought was intentionally a rock opera. I'm like, wait, Three Cheers is a rock opera? I don't hear it
at
all.
You have to turn the part off, I think. But yeah. Helena is exactly... I feel like the best songs I choose for these bands, it's usually because it's the version of that band I think works the best. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot in common with a lot of other great songs on this record, which is it's fast, it's more or less quick, it has that big chorus... And
big chorus, man, those choruses on the entire album are great.
They're great, and it's just everything I want. And it has that gothic, just like emo tinge.
Some
to
might
everything.
Say spooky.
It is very spooky, and like in a beautiful spooky. And I just eat it up with a spoon. I think it's great. Every time I listen to it, I'm expecting to find it overdone or whatever, and it's not. And that's where I think his vocals work the best too.
Yeah, I sent a message to a buddy of mine who's a really big My Chemical Romance fan, and it was basically a challenge to her. I said, I just happened to throw on Three Cheers, and we were talking about them, just, you know, me trying to do my research, try to take in other people's opinions. And I just sent him a message with just all this bravado saying, I dare you to find on any other album by My Chemical Romance a better song than Helena, because it's not going to happen. I think I'm right. And that's not my favorite song. That is not my favorite song. But Helena, just right when it opens, it's like, this is better than everything I heard from the other three albums.
Yeah. And to listen, and this wasn't my experience because I didn't hear the first record until after Three Cheers. But my idea is to have listened to Helena to open that record after only have listened to that first album. I brought you My Bullets, You Brought Me Your Love, I think.
Yep.
I imagine that could have been a shock because everything about it is just faster, cleaner. And
a hope for the future. Like, okay, this band is on its way.
Yeah. You know?
Which technically they did.
That was it. And I think I don't have a ton of great things to say about lyrics for a lot of these albums. Mm-hmm. This album in particular, though, I love a lot of the lyrics. I mean, I'm looking at the verse here. There came a time when every starfall brought you to tears again. We are the very hurt you sold. Gerard Way is not a great lyricist in terms of stringing words together, rhymes, like where you're not expecting the rhyme to work and it does. He doesn't do any of that. It's not necessarily, he does it every now and then, but he's not necessarily as good that way. It's almost more like an opera. Like, he's got to have those big bombastic images that he pulls you into.
Yes.
And it's got to match with those long, drawn out notes he wants to hold.
Yeah.
Right.
A very big.
Every starfall brought you to tears again. I mean, the again, that's what he wants. That's what he's building everything up to. He needs everything before that to set up the image nicely.
Yeah.
But that's the big hook in that verse. And that's what I think is great about him is he's writing his hooks into the verses.
And I kind of like that the follow-up lyric is, you know, like definitely within the cadence, right? The very hurt you stole, which reading the lyrics now, I know it says hurt, but in my head, it was always heart.
Mm.
And so, because I'm actually on a little bit of an opposite spectrum on this. I actually think he's a better, like, I think his lyrics for I Brought You My Bullets, You Brought Me Your Love. I think the lyrics are really good, but the melodies are lackluster.
You'll have to show me where those lyrics are.
I don't have that stored in my head. I do not have notes, so it's not stored in my head.
And I have relatively good things to say about some songs in that record, but I don't know. It's rough for me, but I'm willing to look. And I think part of that too is maybe if the package is that bad, which some of those songs are, it's hard to get into those lyrics like you could. I think Three Cheers is such a sweet spot.
I'm not going to try to give anything away, but I think the audience already knows. Anyway, my favorite song.
Yo, go ahead. Yeah.
My favorite song is Who Would Have Guessed off of Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, Cemetery Drive.
Mm-hmm.
God, out of all of the vocal melodies, that's the one that just every time I hear it, I know that I'm a broken record saying broken record, but every time that chorus hits, my body moves with it, man. And just I miss you so far, which is a classic. You brought this up in our very first episode. What would you have finished that lyric with?
Much
or bad?
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he says so far is, it's a cool twist to it. Now, when I listen to the lyrics on that song, I don't get the same impression as what Genius told me the lyrics were about. You know, apparently it's somebody who lost their girlfriend.
Here's the thing I hate about concept records. Just to quickly, I want to give you time to cook still, but
no, it's fine.
What always bugs me, it's weirdly anti-intellectual that when you have a concept record, all people want to care about then is how it fits into the story they're telling. Mm-hmm. So on any part of Three Cheers, like, well, this is where the guy's girlfriend, he sees her again, does this. That's the meaning. Yeah. I'm like, how boring of a way to think about art where it's got to be that literal piece in. And because obviously it's always going to be
agree
about
more.
Something else, right?
Yeah, Tori, when I listened to that song and when I read the Genius lyrics, because right away listening to it again this time around, this is the best song. For me personally, it moves me. It made me think about people I've lost. It's not about this bizarre storyline that took supposedly, air quotations, everybody, supposedly what this whole album's about. It's like, no, just the songs hit on an emotional level. Let this song hit on the right emotional level. Don't stifle it by a storyline.
And that chorus, like, just to pull attention a little bit more, like you're saying, that by changing it to so far, it not only like changes the listener's expectations, it changes the meaning, right? Where it's not about this like total overblown, like, I miss you so much, everything has gone bad and you're everything. It's like, it's kind of like grief, right? I miss you so far. It's like, we're at where I'm at right now, and it might change. Like, it's a very poignant and really tragic way of thinking about loss.
Yeah. And honestly, the way he enunciates it, I was listening to it this time around. I was going like, oh, I thought it was so bad.
He's from the Claudio Sanchez school of, of pronunciations.
Like, but that song just, it's again, I'm not necessarily dwelling on the lyrics. I'm dwelling on how the vocal melody interacts with the guitar parts. And just that, the buildup, even when it hits that like way down, and it's just like, I can feel the desperation, you know, I can feel that urgency to
way down,
I miss you. Yeah. It just, every time way to go, guys. For as many things that I've already said that are maybe insulting, that song erases all of it, because I will listen to that song all the damn time.
And though this is maybe a good time to say this now, I know maybe we've said it in the past. Mm-hmm. I think when we are hard on certain bands and like critique them, I think something to always think about is, it's kind of like baseball, right? We're both big baseball fans. And that's like, ever I'm since I was younger.
Dodgers, baby.
Ever since I was young, what's the one thing your coaches always tell you about baseball? It's a game based on failure. Right.
It is. Yeah.
The best batting average of all time was successful 4 out of 10 times. Yeah. Like, that's wild. But I think songwriting is very similar. Like,
I agree. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
I think to say that a band puts out 5-6 records and there's like one album that's like really amazing and one song that's really perfect, those are good odds. Like, those, that's
for, yeah, we're talking shit about your entire catalog. God bless you for being able to make something that's really great.
And we can go
this
back.
This come from two guys who do not have anything that's a hit.
And the patron saint of this podcast, Rivers Cuomo, we can go back.
I thought you were talking about me right now. Lucky.
I'm not.
Give us a moment. You got to know your timing here.
For all the awful things that he's done and contributed to music, he still wrote Say It Ain't So. And that is still the best song we've ever talked about. But Cemetery,
I won't fully agree with that, but it is one of the best. It's up there.
But anywho, I totally agree with you. And that song is perfectly placed on that album, too. Yeah. Like, that's the other thing about that record, is the pacing is fantastic. It's boom, 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 slow. Boom, 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 slow. Yep. Boom. I love it.
Yeah, because even, what is that one song? The one song that starts with a whistling.
There's a few. I think you're thinking Hang 'Em High.
Yeah, it's Hang 'Em High. But I love the fact that it starts for a second and it's like, ooh, this is going to be old westerny. And then it's like, no, dude, that was just the intro. No, boom.
Screw
we're
that.
We're rocking. Yeah.
And that was almost my favorite song. That was my, for a long time, that was my favorite song on that record.
It's very tasteful. Would I lie to you? I got something to say.
Okay. Well, look at us. We're just going to sing this whole album. Let's bring it down. This is too much positivity.
Exactly.
What is the worst My Chemical Romance song?
All right. Destroya.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
It's funny because really, it's almost, I think we have other albums like this where it's like, just throw a dart, man. Like, I'm trying to think of one. I literally can't think of a song on that record that I enjoy.
I like Sing.
No. Wait, stop. Tell me why.
I guess the lyrical content.
God, I wish that people could see my face right now.
No, you don't.
I'm bringing up the genius lyrics for Sing. I want to hear
you.
It again.
Thank you. At least recite some. Actually, I'm going to look it up too. I'm not going to trust you to this.
Sing it out, boy. You've got to see what tomorrow brings. Sing it out, girl. You've got to be what tomorrow needs. For every time that they want to count you out and use your voice, every single time you open up your mouth, sing it for the boys. Sing it for the girls. Every time that you lose it, sing it for the world. Sing it from the heart. Sing it till you're nuts. Sing it out for the ones that'll hate your guts.
for everybody who can't see, and Colton wasn't looking at me either, I just threw my phone down and conceded that no, it's not good lyrics. I spoke out of turn. That was not
I'm not
accurate.
Even past the first, like, I could keep going. We haven't talked about Destroyer yet. Talk to me about Destroyer.
Bad song. Throw a dart. It's playing in the background right now. I think you can all hear why this is not a good song.
This is worst record, right? Danger Days.
Do we want to get this out of the way?
Let's get it out of the way. Because us talking about these songs, it's going to eventually just going to start talking about why this record exists.
And our episodes are really long anyway, so we might as well just get this out of the way. This is the worst album, everybody.
It's quite bad. And yeah. My worst song was, I had a slash. I was like, I refuse to not name both of these as worst. It was Sing. And I want to make sure I got to get this name right, because it's a part of what's so infuriating to me. Yes, Planetary Go is the other one. Lord, man, I haven't even talked about na 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 na.
Was that accurate? Was it na na na? And then in parentheses, na 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 na. So it's 12.
Well, sorry. 12 my apologies to my Chemical Romance fans.
Totally trying to be the Hives.
Oh, what was the other one I was telling you about? Party Poison, right?
Yeah, they have a lot of trying to be the Hives. And they talked on this album of how, I think Gerard Way was quoted saying, one of his buddies said, like, this album's so good that you can just ignore the three previous albums. One of the most infuriating, I'm using one of your terms, infuriating. Mm-hmm. I was like, you shouldn't have said those words out loud, because it's just, I know that music is, you know, objective. You know, and you can just have your own opinion. That is factually inaccurate.
Yeah.
To say that album is better than the three previous albums is, I'm sorry, it's a Jeopardy question. This album is not as good as their three previous albums. And the first thing the dude buzzes in with should say, what is Danger Days? That would be the right answer. That would win you $500 in that category.
I'm like, yes, Rob, yes, give me
let
more.
It out,
like,
let it out.
Doesn't
yes.
it feel good?
It does, kind of, yeah.
I think for me the bigger issue is we've been talking about how My Chemical Romance works because when they embrace what they are, and I sent this to a text message to you, they are Hot Topic.
Oh yeah. And at one point in time, I think they did embrace that they were Hot Topic.
And that's the thing, is like when they have like
when Hot Topic was cool,
slightly chubby Gerard Way vampire in Three Cheers, like that is like the quintessential My Chemical Romance. And I really love that version. I get that they couldn't continue doing that well into their 40s.
I do like the fact that they wanted to grow,
right? But
supposedly,
and I think parts of Black Parade that work then are because there's still bits of that DNA that they didn't give up. What's weird about Danger Days is they so drastically changed themselves to where I can't find them anywhere on that record. Like, just said Planetary Go, that's Franz Ferdinand. Like, I refuse to believe that's anything except for the Franz Ferdinand.
You're absolutely right.
They are the highest.
It's playing in the background right now. You can hear it, everybody. Yeah.
Take Me Out. And I think both of us have said, Take Me Out's a great song. Like, I got nothing against, because they knew what they were from the get-go. Yeah. But it's such a weird kind of record for all of that. And it's so cheesy and just quite bad.
It's what category are we on right here?
We're talking about worst song, but we're now talking about worst album.
No, I get that, but what are we moving on to now?
Oh, well, I had one last thing I wanted to mention about this before we move on.
Yeah.
This is something you were talking about, as someone said you can throw out the other three records. I have to call this out, because when I was researching this album, I was looking at the reviews, because I kept thinking, how was it received? I don't even remember.
And if you
go to Wikipedia, Dan Martin, I have to name this person by name. I don't know where you are, Dan. Maybe this can get back to you somehow.
I don't know who you are,
He was writing
Dan.
For NME, that big, you know, big music mag. And he said, I'm going to quote it. He listened to this during a preview, and he said, this is the best rock record of the year by such a margin that you actually feel rather embarrassed for everybody else.
What year did that come out?
So, okay, I got you.
Okay.
This is from 2010. I'm going to list off some albums that came out in 2010.
I love
and
this.
Only
All
the
right.
rock and roll genre.
Okay. Okay.
And we'll just see how this works.
Should I say better or worse?
Give me a better or worse. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay.
The Suburbs, Arcade Fire.
I know. I'm upset.
Not a
you.
Great start.
They don't have that many great songs for me.
By the way, when we say better,
I'll say better. I'll say better.
When we say better, you're saying that album is better than Danger Days, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll say
Diamond Eyes, Deftones.
Not familiar. This is going great. I love it.
Brothers, the Black Keys.
I'm not that big a Black Keys fan, but it's probably better.
Yeah, all you have to do, you don't have to be a big anything. You just have to tell yourself, was it better than Danger Days?
I don't think I was listening to too many new albums in 2010, apparently. Let's keep it going.
Blue Sky Noise, Circus Survive.
Better, and that's my least favorite album by Circus Survive.
I know. Contra, Vampire Weekend.
Better.
There's so many. It's insane. The Walkman.
Have no idea.
I'll tell you, it was better. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, not rock and roll, but still better.
Definitely better. I prefer to hang out with Gerard Way.
Yeah.
Than Kanye. Yeah.
The Monitor by Titus Andronicus, better. I'll throw it again. Better concept record. And this list is longer.
But I'm sure.
How
it is.
Dare you? How dare you, Dan?
Yeah, that's very, very insulting. That was just not a great year for albums.
Yeah, was it an amazing year? No, but. Okay, so we are now on underrated.
Okay, underrated.
So, underrated.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Rock, paper, scissors. This feels fair. Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3, go, or 1, 2, go?
I always go bop, bop, bop. Like on scissors is when you expose your...
That doesn't...
You never did just rock, paper, bam.
That's fine, but all you said was I always go bop, bop, bop. That doesn't answer anything I
asked. That's three.
Listeners, how do you do rock, paper, scissors?
This is actually very important because I would argue that saying rock, paper, scissors and then exposing is like how it should go. But just from my own childhood, it was always rock, paper, scissors. You know, like you don't necessarily put scissors out.
You say scissors. And so then if you don't put it out, what if you do?
I'll put out paper. I'll put out rock.
Okay.
One of these, dude.
Whoa.
That was a middle finger, by the way,
Mr.
everybody.
Mr. Edgy guy. Okay, let's do this. On scissors, as my
on scissors.
My
there
co-host says here. One, two.
It's rock, paper, scissors. You don't say 1, 2, 3.
Let's
it's
start on scissors. Three. I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to do rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Rock, paper, scissors. And we both put up scissors. This is beautiful.
My underrated song,
all right,
My Chemical Romance, is Teenagers. And the reason, look at this face. Is that your
okay?
Underrated?
Go get him. Tell me.
Here's the thing. When I went through, because I always, these kinds of categories, I have to go to what the people are saying because I have my own versions of this, I guess, but I don't think they'll be very accurate. It's more interesting to me to find a song that everybody hates. That was probably a single, and find out what the problem is. And what I've basically seen from the highly unhinged My Chemical Romance subreddit, which, by the way, I apologize, MCR, you'll likely post this with your subreddit.
Of course.
When I say unhinged, all I mean is there's like a lot of like real worship of this band, and even their really flawed moments that it's always kind of confusing. But people hate Teenagers. Like, that is. Like any worst song post of My Chemical Romance, Teenagers is up at the top. Do I think it's the best song they've ever done? No, I don't think it's near the worst. I think it's tonally very off.
But you think it is the most underrated?
Yeah, I can't think of another one that gets. It's more about like the ratio of how much it's hated to how good I think it is. That's my reasoning. And
I gotcha.
I actually think for what it is, it's got kind of a cool rockabilly sound. It's not amazing.
I think the music sounds fine. I think the vocal melody is fun. I think
the lyrics are not bad.
Okay.
I think for what they are, I think the template he sets up, and he's not, if that song was like highly verbose and like super lyrical, I think it would feel weird.
I gotcha.
And I don't know. I think it's just fine. And I remember listening to it several times going, that's just a fine song.
I gotcha.
I haven't spent any time hating it after. No, I would love. Can you tell me? I don't think you're gonna have Teenagers. What is your vibe of Teenagers?
I'll get there.
Okay, I'm so excited. What is your underrated song?
My underrated is I'm Not Okay. I think that's that answer. Yeah, I think that song is so much better than I remembered it as being. And I remember that being kind of when they got their fame, there was already an immediate, you know, the music video was really judged. Where it's like, okay, it's the typical we're going after teenagers.
I love that music video.
The music video is all right to me, but the song is really good to me. Because I think when you hear, like, you know, I'm not okay, I think the song is literally just trying to have this discussion. And this is what I always loved about the song. It seems like it's really having a discussion going, like, I'm not suicidal. I'm just telling you, like, hey, I'm not okay. You really need to listen to me. Trust me. I'm not okay.
That's good. And then really, you got it, like, the radio edit version of that song is so criminal because it goes, I'm really not okay. I hate it. Because you have to have that edit.
I'm not fucking okay. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And it's I think that song got a lot of slack, and I think it got kind of not remembered as more singles kept creeping in.
I could see that.
So that's why I had to give that one its credit, its moment.
And again, lyrically, like, there's so many great, like, that record is so cinematic. And and I'm not talking about, like, this larger story. I'm talking about the images and things that he sets up. It's like, right, remember when you broke your foot from jumping out the second story, and, like, all these super.
I love that tour. I'm like, I don't know the connection, but I love the fact. Like, to me, it sounds like it's a personal story from his own past.
Yeah. When you have a chorus that simple, you have to have those verses doing the heavy load to make it all work, and it works perfectly.
And I think you brought this up to me, and I had completely forgotten. We absolutely did play that song. I don't think live, but no. I think we played it in Sven. That's the mention
our
of Sven.
Practice space.
Yeah.
Sven. And that wasn't that's one of those songs. It's almost like, I think the other one we covered a lot, where I'm like, I could play that song forever, probably not in front of people, but it's so fun. It's a decade under the influence.
Yes. But that's why we played those songs. Cause it was just like, I can only imagine how much fun it would have been to have written those songs, let alone just, you know, two assholes just going like, oh, this is how the chord goes. This is how the drums go.
And that is a song where, and I know this from seeing them live, I believe 3 times is my number. Like, when they start that, like, octave, like, that is a moment for sure. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really fun one. So, yeah, I definitely love that one. So, I like, on my computer, something popped up on the top. Apparently, I have something that can capture my noise sounds, and you're like, are you recording music? no computer, we are not recording music.
Nice try. Please, but our mouths are quite good, thank you for
yes
that.
that's right.
Now I have a guess here that you're overrated is
teenagers.
Explain, because to be overrated is that a lot of people like it, and
my impression was that it was more liked. So you did bring something new to me on that. Okay. I don't go on the Reddit boards. I just know that it was a hit single.
You're thinking of when it was released.
Yeah.
That it got so popular.
Yeah. But that is the smoking gun for My Chemical Romance. Likes to sell out and likes to make something. That song is clearly written to be a single. It is not written for any. There's no value. I get nothing from the song other than just, like, you're saying teenagers scare the living shit out of me. All of you teenagers, buy my CD.
Yeah, Careless, the song is Someone Will Bleed. I don't know. I feel
think
strange.
My lyric was a little more accurate. Buy my CD. I'm talking to the teenagers. We're playing, and I also did have that vibe to Black Parade anyway.
Well, it might be a part of it too, is how it plays in the rest of the album. I guess when I hear that, I hear, like, I feel like I'm, like, weirdly defending it when I don't care about it that much.
No, that's fair.
But I think there's something there. Like, I find more in that song than I do a couple of others in that same record that are meant to feel a lot.
I think this is one of the rare, very rare moments for me in which the lyrics piss me off more than the music does. I don't think there's anything wrong sonically with the song at all. Mm-hmm. I think the vocal melody is solid, but it's just, I wish it would have been anything else other than teenagers scare the living shit out of me. Because just every time I hear that chorus kick in, I hear an ad campaign.
It, I guess in my brain, My Chemical Romance stands in for all of these teenagers that are wearing eyeliner, wearing all black clothes, right?
Yeah.
The Gall Moth clique, or the Mall Goth Kit clique, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that felt more as a response to that narrative. Because when I read, I'll read the...
You're probably right. I'm probably a little more off.
...into the second verse, because this is the verse I actually like a lot. Just so darken your clothes, strike a violent pose. That's not great, by the way. No. Clothes to pose, I don't like it so much. Maybe they'll leave you alone, but not me. And then the boys and girls in the clique...
Who's me, by the way, in that one? Who's me? Maybe they'll leave you alone, but not me. Who's me?
I think it's the speaker. It's wait. I mean, when I teach poetry, I always remind students that when you hear I or me, we can't think it's the poet. It's the speaker of the poem.
Okay. So it's the old person.
The person who is afraid of, maybe they'll leave you alone. The people who aren't interested, like the kids that'll reject you. I'm scared of you and I'm going to make your life hell. I don't. But then the boys and girls in the clique, the awful names that they stick. You're never going to fit in much, kid. But if you're troubled and hurt, what you got under your shirt will make them pay for the things that they did. I appreciate the darkness of those lyrics and where it goes. It actually reminds me of what is that song? Oh my God.
I think you're just talking right today. Now. I think you're stuck in where you got to defend those lyrics
no,
somehow.
What's wrong with the, tell me why they bother you. Is it that it's kind of treating school shootings nonchalantly?
I think it is. What's a word? What's a word for when you write a song that you're just taking advantage of the listener?
Oh, manipulative.
I'm sorry, man. I don't think it's a bad a classic statement on Know Your Rights. I'm not saying it's a bad song.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know that so many fans hated the song. But you know what? If you're somebody from the subreddits who's here listening, I'm with you. That song is not that freaking good.
This is probably on a record, the longest I've taken to defend a song that I will probably not listen to again. So I have I have a lot to reflect on after this podcast.
There you go. But you did sway me a little bit. I dislike the song less now.
Mm-hmm.
So you did good. You did good, well, Colton.
My overrated is Demolition Lovers. That last track from I'm About to Write Bullets, You Bought Me Your Love. And this one, like usually when I say overrated, I say it's not bad. It's a bad song. Like it's not great.
I don't think it's a bad song. Honestly, to me, I thought it was possibly the best song off the album. Maybe I'm wrong though. Hold on.
There are others on that album that I have far more time for. Honey, This Mirror Isn't Big Enough for the Two of Us.
I like that one. I like that one.
It's great. I'm always going to have a soft spot for The Vampires Will Never Hurt You.
It's like Halloween, everybody.
Oh, it's way too long. Like, that song is 5 minutes and 26 seconds long. It should be. Like, it feels like it's 13 minutes long.
I like Our Lady of Sorrows.
Head first for Halos.
That one's all right. Skylines and Turnstiles, apparently their very first song, is not that good. And that song is apparently what motivated, or I shouldn't say that song is essentially written about what motivated Gerard Way to be a musician, to really go after this, because 9/11.
Yeah, that is.
But yeah, let me listen to Demolition Lovers really quick.
All right.
Well, you know what, Colton? Tell me, what are you? Or are you ready to?
It's too long. It's
too long.
It's way too long. It doesn't. Yeah. It's long in the worst way possible. It stretches the way it's set up musically. It's a showcase for Way, right? Because nothing musically. I mean, they have like this kind of clean guitar lines and stuff, and on Cemetery Gates. That stuff, or Cemetery, right? It works.
Cemetery Drives.
That's right. I was afraid.
Or Drive, sorry. Yeah.
I'm thinking of Sinister Gates.
I know. You know what? Honestly, there's a song by My Chemical Romance, and I'm like, the opening of this song is Unholy Confessions.
Yeah.
It has vampires in the title as well. I can't remember which one it is.
No, I know what you mean. That's crazy. Yeah. But I just feel like all of the buildup goes into this kind of bigger chorus that is not great. right? The lyrics really drag. Everything about it drags.
And I agree, but it almost fits in that much more honestly to me, to the music scene they were part of. I'm not disagreeing with you. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good choice, but again, overrated is not bad. And so I'm just defending it on the other side.
Yeah. Flip it around. Hey, yeah. I could see it. And it's funny that there's a lot of My Chemical Romance like imitators that come out of this record, but more specifically Three Cheers. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you're right. The one that I always think of weirdly is Aiden, which I don't think anyone has ever heard or thought of in quite some time. Do you remember that band?
I do. And
Nightmare Starting.
I'm not going to have that playing in the background, everybody.
Here's the thing. I think that guy got arrested. I don't want to just say that out loud. Pretty sure he was arrested.
You literally just said that out loud.
Well, now it's recorded. Now I'm allegedly.
You got to live with it.
Allegedly, he was recorded for doing something wrong.
Yes.
Anywho, I could see where that fits into that thing. I just don't. I don't see it.
It's not a bad choice, but I do like elements of that song. And maybe it is just because the album's finally finishing. And I go like, I like this song.
You're like, oh, I'm ready to go.
It's time to move on to Three Cheers. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God. So here's again, something I want to call out, because
all right,
I don't think either of us has the Black Parade as our best album. Am I correct?
It's not, but it has grown that much more on me.
Well, that's why I think, because we're about to hit into best album, I think it's actually a good time to talk about Black Parade, even if it's quickly, because given the other ones some time, I do think it's a record that's worth mentioning because it was so huge. It's
heralded as their best album, which
I've heard superlatives online that I know would piss you off. Like, I've heard like it's 21st century, The Wall.
That does upset me. Dark Side of the Moon upsets me a lot more, because I don't think The Wall is perfect from beginning to end. But
right,
Dark Side of the Moon. Let's pump our brakes here, everybody. We cannot go with we cannot compare that. There's other albums from the 21st century.
I feel like I've had a very like started just loving that album when it came out, because there's a lot to like about the Black Parade.
I agree.
And there's different songs in there that I really appreciate. Then you have as I get older, and again, like most times we choose a band going into the listening period, I'm thinking to myself, I really remember not liking the Black Parade, or I don't want to like it, because I think it's the way that it's remembered bothers me. Like you said, that is this grand achievement where it's like, clearly to me, Three Cheers is the record we should be remembering and talking about more.
Yeah. Well, the way I remember it is, while they were releasing the Black Parade, they opened up for Green Day at certain points. And it's like, here we go, the rock opera parade. You know, here we go.
That's right. So, everybody was putting out rock. I'm pretty sure Yellow Card put out a rock opera around this time.
It was this big thing where I'm like, was everybody listening to The Who? Just that's what was going on at this time with
and the only one who did one that was worth a damn was Vendetta Red. We come back to my opening opinion.
I have no comment. I'll check it out eventually. That's odd too, that I didn't listen to that much Vendetta Red. For as much as you talked about them, I never really
just give it a couple of months. We'll come back.
There you go.
I'm almost certain. But I really did enjoy myself. There's still albums on there that are songs on this album that I like. Welcome to the Black Parade itself. This was almost my overrated. I think I ended up giving it more credit when I heard it again. But
I have said for the longest time with Welcome to the Black Parade that the opener of that song gives that song a chance to be the best song they have. But I don't dislike it as much now. Honestly, with every song off of their entire discography, the next listen made me like the song a little more. But my first time listening to Welcome to Black Parade, I was like, and here we go. They go into that big deal, and just, sometimes I get the feeling he's watching over me. And it bothers me, too, that he says she's watching over me. I was like, weren't you just talking about your dad? Like, I don't...
Inconsistent. It's very. I'm gonna do like a Stewie from Family Guy kind of opinion.
Love it
insists too. Upon itself.
Nice,
right? From everybody from the internet. Hello. It's very like, welcome. This is going to be our rock rapper song, and it opens with that very poignant piano. It's got these very kind of reflective, nostalgic lyrics. God, and it builds into really a Chemical Romance song, right? When it gets into the part where it speeds up. Yeah. And for whatever reason, it always rubs me the wrong way now. I just can't.
It's just the chorus is, it's trying to pull off something from Three Cheers. And I'm like, Three Cheers is lightning in a bottle when it comes to all those choruses. Mm-hmm. They have that little like, we'll carry on, we'll carry on. Yeah. And I'm just like, it's all right. But the opener of the song, like I said, the fact that the way that those notes, those single notes on the piano almost function as chords. It almost functions as a chord progression.
Yeah.
You know, like, boom, boom, and it's just like, that's all he needed. And he just comes in with the "When I Was a Young Boy." Every time I hear that, I'm like, this is beautiful.
Yes,
it's beautiful musicianship, and it's like minimal musicianship. So I've always appreciated that. And then just the rest of the song seems kind of like, and the producer kicks in and goes like, we also have to sell this album.
Yeah.
So we need a more upbeat little section of the song.
And it really is. And I've heard this. I've actually heard them explain it this way. That song is like, the biggest reason it exists is to basically explain the record, or to basically kind of give the record its identity. But
we are establishing, yeah,
right. In and of itself, though, I just don't think it holds up in a lot of other ways. I do always commend them that it would have been so easy to start the record with that track.
And I agree. The end is not bad.
I like the end into Dead.
Yeah,
and because I remember thinking, oh, it's going to be rough, and then I listened to the end and then Dead, and I was like, oh yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I don't believe any of those guitar players are actually playing that part.
No, it was me. I did it.
Yeah. But but the end, it's funny you say that. The end always, I think we both have probably done this toward like the vocal cadence came before the rest of the song. That's how the end vibes mm-hmm. with me. You know, and that's just from my own writing. Yeah. Come gather around, man. And it's just, it seems like something that he just kind of wrote by himself without a guitar, without anything. And just went like, I like this little vocal melody. And I like House of Wolves.
I think Sharpest Lives works for me. Yeah, place where the animals go. You watch the Cannibal Glow. That's a good line. I like Cannibal Glow.
I think I only have to say it. I have to say it just because you brought up Jet earlier, and I said they might come up. Cancer is totally the what's that Jet song? Hold on.
There is a Jet song that's like this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Look what you've done.
No. Look what you've done.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
That's the one where they were performing in the woods, the animated woods, and all the bunnies get eaten by something.
My music video knowledge is.
I hate how much knowledge, like weird memories I have of songs I listen to on
MTV. I do kind of remember that, but honestly, that Jet song always, it's like, you guys are trying to be the Beatles.
We don't have to talk about Jet anymore.
And then all of a sudden, My Chemical Romance is trying to be Jet. I'm like, you should have tried to be the Beatles, but
yeah, Cancer's rough. I have to say, I'm not going to mention one song on here, track number 9, because that's reserved for a later category for me.
1, 2, 3.
I do have to say, the song that I listened to again, and then I was
we
like,
have more categories?
I have a surprise last category. Don't worry. I got you.
Okay. Here. All right.
I'm going to put you on the spot, but you're going to do good. The song I listened to where I was like, oh shit, I forgot how much I like really love this song is Disenchanted. Like Disenchanted when I heard it again. And I remember actually learning to play it on guitar because I liked it so much. And okay. Opening lyrics are very, very good. You want to play it?
Yeah. When I was there on the day they sold the cars for the queen, and when the lights all went out, we watched our lives on the screen. I hate the ending myself, but it started with an alright scene. It was the run of the crowd that gave me. Who would have guessed that the band was going to kick in there? No, that song is very beautiful. That song is very beautiful. And honestly, I would love to hear a Colton Saylor performance of that.
Oh, I mean, I definitely covered it a couple times to no one else but myself. Just because the lyrics, I think probably lyrically to me, it's the strongest one. Because it was the war of the crowd that gave me heartache to sing. It was the lie when they smiled and said, you won't feel a thing. And as we ran from the cops, we laughed so hard it would sting. It's classic from Three Cheers. It's like these little bits. And
it feels personal. It doesn't feel...
And the best one, I have to say this verse... I all spent right. my high school career spit on and shoved to agree so I could watch all my heroes sell a car on TV, bring out the old guillotine. Yeah. We'll show them all what we mean. That's great. And it's like just basically encapsulating like high school alienation and then watching people you respect fail you. Like it's per capita per line. Like I'm always a fan of when someone can take us a long ways in a short distance. It's great.
And it does seem like it's kind of introspective because now he's at this point where he's at a certain element of fame.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, take off that level of fame, level Black of Parade fame. Sorry, uniform and talk to me. And that's what I feel like that's him actually kind of doing that, which I appreciate. All right. Here's the thing. I have a surprise category. The thing is, you're actually surprised. Yeah. I had mentioned it to you. So it's okay that you don't remember. Unless it was a dream. I might have dreamed. But we could talk about best album now. Let's say at the same time on three, on scissors, rock, paper, scissors.
Three cheers for Sweet Revenge. You said on three. I'm sorry. So three cheers.
I said scissors. Yeah. Well, I said on scissors. It's what else have we not said yet about the record?
It's just really damn good. Like it's an entire album of like, how do you not put up your fist? How do you not get that little like just. You hear certain vocal melodies throughout all of it. I don't think I have much more to say. If you got some.
Well, I'm just trying to think of songs I haven't talked about yet. I know Hang 'Em High, I'm Always Gonna Love.
Yeah.
I think To the End, She Calls a Mansion Not a House, but a Tomb. She's always stoking on the stems from the beam. The Wedding Party, I'll Collapse in the Room. So set my designation to the bride and the groom. Let's go down.
Yeah.
That's such a good opening.
Every song. Yeah. I'm looking at every single song. They're all just this album. If they would have made three other albums that were even close to as good as this, which one of them I'm going to give a little credit to Black Parade. It's close. We're talking. I don't know. I'm putting up my hands right now for everybody. It's like about 6 inches away.
Oh yeah, the distance.
That one's pretty good. But if they would have put out, you know, another two albums that were close to this, their ranking would have been a lot higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but also that would have been hard, I guess. I don't know. Like I think when you talk about bands like this, where they have really one record where everything just clicks, like we said, that's sometimes just the way it goes. It's very hard to write
lightning in a bottle,
let alone
man.
A good record.
Yeah.
But I think it's just so cool to actually kind of see the hill take shape and what they're doing in I Brought You My Bullets. That kind of works. And the best thing about them, and this is something that some guys we've talked about don't know, like Weezer drives me crazy, where it's like they don't know what makes them good. They know what they think makes them good, but they don't actually know.
Yeah.
And My Chemical Romance, for anything we could say today that was critical, they knew at some point what it was.
They kind of knew they were Hot Topic.
And I think people will hear that now and think that's me kind of pushing away. Not at all. If that's what that sounds like, it's great.
We're Hot Topic kids.
And I have talked.
You
want to
guess looking at us now, but.
Oh, well, I mean, I bring it up a lot. I loved my quote, the Raven, Nevermore. I've mentioned this on the podcast.
We're back.
It means a lot. But we gave Blink-182 a lot of crap for trying to co-opt, right?
Yes.
That mall goth chic, which they never were.
Yeah.
And so that's always what made I Miss You to me a little disingenuous.
Sorry, Alex.
I said that again. But it's like with what's his face from Batman? Like Chemical Romance was born in the darkness. Like Blink-182 adopted it, but they were born in the mall goth darkness. And they
you're talking about
it.
Bane, everybody.
Of course.
Yes. Or whatever the actor's name is.
Yeah, just so good. Thank you for the Venom very quickly. This is what you want, Fire at Will. And then at live, everybody points their finger guns at Gerard Way and he points them back.
It's not bad, but the intro is Unholy Confession.
Which, by the way, is the only good song that Avenged Sevenfold has ever written.
I disagree with that. But we'll get to that when the episode comes up.
Well, of course, which we'll talk about for sure.
300 episodes down the road when we're talking about Avenged Sevenfold.
That'll be the last one, because after that episode's over, I'll just turn to Rob and go, that's it, I'm done. Yeah. So here is where I wanted to give you my what is the spookiest song that My Chemical Romance has ever done? Pick your spooky song.
Okay, see, now I got confused. I thought the reason I chose Susie and the Banshees.
You were supposed to do both.
I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me take a look here. Take really a look, quick, I'll, everybody.
We can
you
cut
go ahead
this
and start
second.
Off. Go ahead. No, and start
we'll just
off.
Cut it.
Oh, so you want to save? You want the?
No. But I'll go first. But I'll give you time so that you can actually talk while I talk to me.
Yeah, fuck it. The ghost of you. Spooky. Spooky, right, everybody?
You were just looking at song titles and going, I have so many better spooky songs than you.
All right. My number one is... Hold on. Let's talk about The Ghost of You. I put a lot of thought into this.
Yep.
Am I right? Am I right, Kobe? He did. Kobe, you sounded a lot like me right there.
It just really sounds like you answered yourself.
But yeah, no, that I never... At the end of the world. Spooky. All right.
Maybe
ahead,
this
Colin.
Was a mistake.
Go ahead. It's your turn.
Mama. That's the only right answer. Maybe Blood.
Yeah,
probably Mama.
Mama's pretty cool. Even though I think that song kind of falls off. I think that the way that the verses go compared to when they finally go big again, I just feel it takes away from that. That because I like that. Like, Mama, we're all gonna die. You know, he does that little deal. And then when it hits a chorus, I'm just like, it's a little too straightforward. Just chugga-chugga, or not chugga-chugga. You know,
but
like,
they have Liza Minnelli in that record. Like, that's I don't know if people realize how crazy.
Do they mention her, or is she actually
on? She's in it. She's on that song.
Is she doing that weird vocal part?
Yeah. I wish you'd call me a sweetheart.
I was about to give a lot of credit to Gerard Way. I was like, man, you're hitting some notes there.
It said on the record, it says featuring...
I don't have the record in front of me. All right, I have Spotify in front of me. It doesn't say featuring Liza Minnelli.
And do you know who her mother is?
Of course I do.
Say it out loud so the people know.
I don't need to put her on blast.
Who is her mom?
I did know that.
It's like it has so many levels to how kind of creepy and sad it is, because the whole thing is like, it's like this all war torn, like, Mama, look what the war did to my legs, to my lungs. It's all gross and grotesque. And then she comes in and she's so, I mean, who, I don't know whatever people think of Liza Minnelli. She's amazing. She's such a good performer.
I really don't have much to say on that. And when I say I don't have much, I literally have nothing to say on Liza Minnelli.
This probably could be cut. This crashed and burned pretty bad.
It's not bad. Not bad. Mama's a good song. It could be fun. This could have been fun.
It could have been fun. All right. Here's the deal. We have arrived at the rating, and I had a rating going into this, and I actually kind of think I want to change it, and I'm not sure. I think you changed my mind on a couple of things.
Did it go up or did it go down?
It went down somewhat.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
But I want to give me, I like when you go first, because then I can switch to it. So I'm less of a dick.
Let's see. I'm going to go 6.8 because I think Three Cheers is that good an album.
Shocking. 6.8.
Now, keep in mind, I gave Weezer a 6.
See, okay, this is where, and what's funny is I always go back to Weezer too, because that is the line.
That's
all five right. is my Weezer line. They have to be above, right? Because
Weezer put out more albums. Weezer put out two great albums, but then they put out a whole bunch of albums. My Chemical Romance, I had to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, you put out four, two of them are good, one of them is all right, or I should say, one's amazing, one's good. One's and the other one is bad.
It's one truly terrible album. But I would say that truly terrible album, it's like, how do I put it? It's not the kind of bad where I get like super upset. Like, we've talked about records on this show where I've gotten visibly upset even thinking about them.
I'm dragging you back into this, Colin. But that last album from the Decemberists, bad.
Really
Bad.
bad.
Really bad. So shockingly bad.
Like, and for them too, bad because of how good they are. And then when I hear Colin Molloy, like in interviews, talk about that record in a fond way, oh Lord, I can't.
I've never let go.
I know you can't. That's okay. Colin pal, it's totally acceptable. It's
spelled the same
if
way.
If you're 6.8, maybe I'll stay where I am. I started at a 6 out of 10.
All right, that seems fitting. There you go.
And like 4 of that is for Three Cheers. Like if I'm gonna like average.
That's
it
what.
Out.
That's what put it up. I was going to go with a 6.5, and just every single time I listen to Three Cheers, like, shit, they put out a great album.
Yeah. Just everything is great, and the songs that you might, if they were a little bit longer, not like as much, they know to not make them as long.
Yeah.
Like, so good.
Until other albums.
Yes. Well, yeah, and then they forget that lesson. They learned it after the first one, forgot it immediately after the second.
Yep. But Gerard, Mikey, the rest of the gang, you guys had a great stretch there, and I appreciate the fact that you had that much maturity to know when to call it quits.
And there we go. I they have such a sad history with drummers. I have to call it out. Where like they had the drummer from their first album, they fired, bought in Bob Reier. I don't think the drums on any record are amazing because it's the same.
It's the drums are absolutely going off of the formulaic.
It's a drum machine.
Approach to the emo fucking pop.
But then Bob Reier gets hurt, right? And like he like hurts his wrists and stuff, and he has to actually quit because he's like, it seems to me like he medically is not able to go on anymore. So and then he's like had some issues, I guess. I hope you're well, Bob Reier. I just feel bad because their drummers are had some hard stretches.
Yeah.
I always gotta throw some sympathy out for drummers.
Of course.
I'm with you guys. Yeah. That's good.
All right.
Now, now that I've ended on that sad drummer note, what is our next band for our non-Halloween, non-spooky episode?
All right, Colton. This is going to be the longest ago of all the bands that we've covered. So we're going back. We're going back to like 60s.
Going back to the 60s.
We're going back to the 60s. What do you think it is?
You said this like I'm supposed to be like, oh, is this it? Is this the episode?
We'll see. I don't know. Let's
find
out.
That's not much of a give me a clue.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, clues. All right. One through four. One through four.
Give me clue number two.
Clue number two. All right. Tolkien. Is it JRR or is it JR?
I'm really not going to know that answer.
And
I
honestly, did he
J.R.
write anything else besides
J.R.R. Tolkien? Oh yeah, he has other things I think, besides just like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
Yeah,
he wrote like a whole history of the world of the Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. Did he have anything besides the folklore of Lord of the Rings?
Maybe, I don't know. A lot of fantasy lit. People are listening to me to say this and upset with me. I don't teach a lot of Tolkien. I'm sorry, people.
I know I do this to you all the time, but I mean, like, I figured, you know, like the doctor of English.
That's like when I was at a Christmas party, and this was before I got my doctorate. I majored in English, and I didn't know the words to like Frosty the Snowman. And very, very seriously, someone at the party was like, I thought you were supposed to be an English major. Like, they don't teach a lot of Christmas carols.
I know. And you're still a human being, man. Like,
oh yeah. PSA for everyone out there: if you ever meet an English major, don't sprout random lines of poetry to them and ask if they know who it is. It's rude.
Man. I mean, I just recently read Comedy in a Minor Key. Are you familiar with that book? Of course you're not, because that's a freaking out of nowhere book.
Of course I am. Come on.
All right. So
I'm putting this off because I have no idea.
So you got no idea with one through four.
And Tolkien.
Tolkien.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait.
Don't say it. Don't say it. You may. I think you do too. And Stairway was going to be my next hint. Stairway was going
to go.
Yeah. But we're only doing Led Zeppelin to Led Zeppelin 4.
Sick. Okay.
Yeah. So it's just the four albums. And the best part about it is all of that shit got released on vinyl, so they couldn't make the albums 80 minutes long.
Take that, suckers.
Yeah. So, yeah, Led Zeppelin to Led Zeppelin 4. I'm proud of you. When you got it, I was like, Tolkien, you might get this. Yeah,
I'm very excited. That took me a little bit because my instant fear was this is the episode where we go to war.
I know. I had to play it up a little bit.
Can I say really quick? This is like a nice way to record my journey into this. Mm-hmm. Not a big Led Zeppelin guy. Not a dislike. Just not like a lot of classic rock that I never got to.
Well, you're going to come out on the other side wearing those Led Zeppelin shirts, but you're not going to be one of those douchebags from the Hot Topic era who just wore a Led Zeppelin shirt for fashion. You're going to be officially a fan.
Let's go. Let's go, everybody. Yeah. I'm excited. Everyone, please enjoy your Halloween. Don't check your candy before you eat it and wear something that's scary. That's what Halloween is for. Watch scary movies.
Is that what Halloween? And I'm going to dress exactly what you're looking at, Colton.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't get to thank you for wearing a Halloween costume to this episode. It's a great, what is your costume again that you're wearing? A lot of bandages. You have some kind of like weird spiky thing on your head. You got blood stains everywhere.
I just don't have the creativity for Halloween. There's nothing I can say to go with
that. Happy Halloween,
everybody. He looks ordinary to me. I don't know what you're seeing, Colton.
Lucky, you've gone as a really cool vampire, and I appreciate that. You've stuck with the vampire theme.
I dress like this all the time.
I forgot you actually are a vampire from Ireland. You're the only one they have.
Yes. But he is a Lakers fan. He did want to clarify that. Damn right.
Thank you. Vampire who likes the Lakers, weirdly. Everybody, have a great
Halloween.
Have a great Halloween.
Happy Halloween, guys.